At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
This is Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer. Inside the evidence, behind the headlines, from someone who's been there. Here now, Jennifer Coffendaffer.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. I know it has been quite a while since I addressed you all and was on the channel here with you. And my apologies, I have been swamped. I have some expert witness cases that are, well, they have some deadlines. And obviously, I want to meet all those deadlines. So it is contributing to not having as much time for this channel and for all of you folks out there. So I just want to thank you for your patience, but I had to get out and address the case of Melody Buzzard. Now, Melody first came to my attention straight away. I reported the exact day that she was reported missing. The reason was it had such undertones of a case that reminded me so much of Harmony Montgomery. Harmony Montgomery, many of you might know, went missing, well, was missing for over 2 years, and no one reported her. Her father and his girl, whatever, they were collecting the money, the welfare money that was going to her for years before it was ever notated that she was deceased. CPS dropped the ball. Everybody dropped the ball. And I was worried we had a similar case here. And quite frankly, we may have somewhat of a similar case, but certainly right now we don't have any evidence that Melody is not alive. But we also don't have any evidence that Melody is alive. But let's go over the facts. The facts are what are so important. First of all, I want you to denote this picture. This picture was taken clear back in 2023. She's 9 years old now. She turned 9 in February of 2025. This photo is over 2 years old. And so this is of a 7-year-old. For those of you who have children or are around children, you know that, wow, how much change takes place within such a short period of time when you're young. Now, obviously, when you're in your 20s, you don't change too much, but boy, do you really change in these years. And so it's really important to notice, in my opinion, why weren't there more photos of Melody? This is another photo we have of her. I mean, she is just absolutely precious. It's very notable that her father passed away when she was only 6 months old. He died in a tragic motorcycle wreck. This is very important because I think that that really came to impact the mother of Melody, whose name is Ashley. So we know about her decline. How do we know about Ashley's decline? Because her mother was interviewed. And this was a very important interview. I want to give you that interview date if you would like to look it up. It was on October 18th. And specifically, her mother, Lori, specifically said that the last time she had seen her daughter was about 2 years ago. She also let us know that actually CPS had been called out to the house. and that there were issues, and that the grandmother, when she went out to the house, she saw the home in complete squalor, disarray, no edible food, she said. And she also mentioned that she was very concerned that her daughter was actually feeding this unedible food to her granddaughter, since that's the only food that was in the house. So some might ask, you know, why in the world didn't this grandmother at this point intercede? Why didn't she come and help? And this is what we see so often with these kinds of cases, right? We see where essentially you have extended family that, if they know what's going on, they don't get involved. And many of them don't know what's going on. The paternal family of Melody was also interviewed, and they hadn't seen Melody for years. Essentially, they said that they tried to see her, but it was unsuccessful. And to make a long story short, I'm just going to be frank, the extended family was definitely not in Melody's life. Nobody was going to be there to save her or to rescue her. And it seems like the CPS reports that we have show that indeed there were significant issues there. And there have been longstanding significant issues with the mother. Now, why is this important? Well, let's take a look at the timeline. This timeline was created and put out by law enforcement, and law enforcement is pleading for individuals to please come show her picture, put it on your platform. I always say it doesn't matter whether you have one follower or thousands of followers. And the reason is you never know who it's going to touch. I always use the example of Gabby Petito. Gabby Petito went missing initially. Remember, it wasn't a murder investigation. She went missing. And the Bethunes, who happened to be in the Grand Tetons vacationing, for those who don't know, they happened to be looking on social media and see reports of Gabby Petito's van. Well, it reminded them that they had driven by a similar type van that was off the side of the road near a wooded area. They made that report. Well, guess what? That is how Gabby Petito was found. And I can guarantee you, if the Bethunes wouldn't have made that call and there were no other leads, I can promise you that Gabby Petito likely maybe never would have been found. Brian Laundrie would have been running around dumb, fat, and happy in Florida, and no one would have ever really known what happened to Gabby Petito. But this timeline is important. It's important when I look at it because I see the gaps, and the gaps are very clear. On August of 2025, that was the second to last sighting of Melody Buzzard, August of 2025. And that was actually made by school officials. So we know that she was obviously at least checking in with the school in August of 2025. Now, the last sighting of her was October 7th of 2025. October 7th, everyone. That's the last sighting. I mean, we're working on, that's weeks now that she hasn't been sighted. Where was she sighted at? And this is important. She was sighted at a rental car company. And this rental car company, the mother had gone to rent a vehicle so that they could go on an extended vacation over 1,000 miles, really, depending on where they went to Nebraska. And again, you guys might know I'm a Nebraska, Kansas girl. Nebraska, about 1,400 miles. The exact mileage that was given, and I thought this was interesting, it was given as 1,020 miles. Now, that seems a little low to me, but maybe they know exactly where she went on the outskirts of Nebraska. So in any event, 10-7-25. Now, let me show you these pictures. This is from the rental car agency. You can even kind of see that sliding door. This is such a routine look to me for the rental car agencies you see. Now, pay close attention to a couple of things, if you would. And I think I might have a better picture here. You see this? This is an obvious, in my opinion, wig. Now, could it be her hair straightened? Let me look 2 years earlier. Obviously, extremely curly hair. So this is, it could be a wig. It's possible it could be a wig. Nevertheless, whether this is a wig or she straightened it or curled it in these kind of, in this kind of way, in these tendrils, so to speak, law enforcement specifically mentioned a wig. So, in other words, this is, to me, a mother who is trying to disguise her daughter. She is fully hooded. Remember what time of year this is. This isn't freezing cold weather by any chance, by any stretch, especially in California. In October, it's getting cold, certainly in the mid-states, but she's certainly all clothed up where you can't make any discernment about her really much at all. But law enforcement believes this is her. Notice also this bag she has. You know, what's in this bag? What is going on? Most nine-year-olds don't carry purses. Some of them do because, you know, they want to be old or, you know, grown up like mom. I'm interested as to why she's carrying this purse. I'm interested about where this clothing was purchased from. I'm interested about any wigs that were purchased, whether this could have been purchased for the trip. I think all of this is very important to discern whether this were travel clothes that she specifically bought for this purpose or whether it was just what she had around the house. It's really frustrating because, again, for law enforcement, there's no... there's no social media footprint. Now, some of you may be saying that this doesn't look like her. This isn't her. I've seen this a lot online. I'm going to check chat in a minute. Listen, this is what law enforcement is telling us. It's what law enforcement is giving us. You have to pull teeth to get information from the FBI. I know as an FBI agent, we were never, ever allowed to talk to the media, except for instance, if we had a big case. When I had a big case and we did a presser, they would have me come up, and as a case agent, I could comment on some of the facts. Other than that, you did not talk to the press. I could tell you when I first got involved in this business, which was completely accidentally with Gabby Petito, when I got a call from an FBI classmate asking for me to help him out, essentially. When that first happened, I can tell you, it was so awkward to talk to the press because it is grilled in your head from the academy on. We do not discuss cases. You never discuss any facts about cases. So I just want to guard against people saying this isn't her because law enforcement is saying this is her. So that's what they believe. And I know why they know. This, I don't think, is a big mystery. She entered the rental car place with her mother. So that's the big clue here. When you go in with your mother, somebody that is well-documented, somebody we know exactly what they look like, this is the reason that they know this is her, or at least believe it's her. So I believe that law enforcement believes this is her. Could they be mistaken? Could her mother, Melody's mother, be running around with another young girl? Maybe. Anyway, I think we need to, I see what's going on social media, and I think we need to try to discredit so many of the rumors that are going around, and we need to rely on law enforcement. I'm going to put up this timeline again because it's very clear, the timeline that I'm showing you. I know that it's a little far away. In fact, I can barely see it. But again, these are the reports we're seeing in terms of when she was last seen, in terms of when she was seen by school officials. Now, two other important dates. First of all, on 10/14, that was when the missing investigation actually began. So that's when an official report was made. And that's important because this is when really the ball gets rolling and they try to find Melody. On 10/15, the FBI served a search warrant. And I should say FBI in conjunction with Santa Barbara authorities, right? Remember, in all these cases, just like the Idaho case, the venue where something happens to somebody, that is the jurisdiction that prosecutes these cases. Many people are upset that, as an example, Sebastian Rogers, that the FBI doesn't swoop in and take over the investigation. And the reason they can't is there's nothing that gives them jurisdiction into that case. Zero. And that is always going to be the case unless Sebastian is found dead in Kentucky or dead in a neighboring state or in a neighboring state in the presence of another. You know, in other words, if he were kidnapped and being held. So those are the types of things that make the jurisdiction for prosecution purposes in the FBI. The reason the FBI is allowed to get involved in these cases, though, is we can open a couple of different kinds of cases. We can open a police cooperation case. I've talked about this before. And that's where you do have a case agent assigned, but they are really in more of an assisting mode. And then also when you have fugitives, we open what we call UFAPs, unlawful flight to avoid prosecution. And that's how we can get involved and hunt down fugitives. Okay. But in this case, they have clearly stated that the FBI is in an assisting role. Now, having said that, and I said this before, like in the Idaho case, you can bet you that the FBI is conducting their own investigation. They aren't calling back to Santa Barbara and saying, is it okay if we do this? Or do you mind if we do this? They have full authority. The Bureau is running their own case in terms of this missing little girl. And when I say that, what I mean is we have what we call auxiliary office leads we send out. We call them AO leads. And essentially that's where you do an EC, everything's an acronym, an electronic communication that you send out to all of these states. I meant to put that map up. Shoot, I did not put that map up. But basically there were multiple states that Ashley would have taken Melody through. And I've talked about this before because there's a very important clue here. This map shows she would have gone through, and sorry, I'm just looking it up. I could have sworn I sent this on here. The logical fastest route. There's three different routes, but the logical fastest route would have gone through, obviously, California, through Nevada, through Utah, through Colorado, and into Nebraska. This is a critical point. And I know somebody was on Twitter arguing with me about this, and I'm just not going to argue with people anymore when they say stupid stuff. Law enforcement pointed out that they went through Kansas on their way home. This is so critical. First of all, the other two routes never involve Kansas. Again, I'm from Nebraska and from Kansas, spent the majority of my life in those states. And I can tell you, when going to Colorado, when going to California, when going to Nevada, you do not, if you're in Nebraska, go that route. That would not happen logically unless you took back roads. Now, if you look at the Idaho 4 case, Brian Koberger went a completely surreptitious route because I will always believe he hid the evidence from that crime along that route. I think law enforcement thinks that as well. They did all these soil samples. They were trying to compare the soil samples to the shovel that he had in the vehicle when they did that search warrant. So believe me, this is important that law enforcement pointed this out, that they went through Kansas. You know why? Because they want to get Kansans to put an eye on this. They want to get every eye they can on this. And they're trying to point out, look, it's an anomaly that she would make a decision to go down to Kansas. I think this is really important. How many of you in chat know about the Gannon Stouch case? This was a woman in Colorado who had absolutely lost her mind. For those of you who watched the trial, it was unbelievable. Even after the trial, sentencing, everything else, her name was Letitia Stout, how she acted and conducted herself. She, it turned out, murdered, bludgeoned to death, beat to death the most adorable child, Gannon, stepson, and took him to Florida, where she put him in a suitcase and literally threw him like off a bridge into a ravine. Okay, and she had serious, you could call it mental issues. They're not mental issues legally when somebody understands right from wrong, just so we're all clear. So we can throw around the word mental health and we can say mental health attributed. Well, mental health is a huge gamut. It's everything from people who are hooked on dope to individuals who have schizophrenia to people that suffer from depression, to people who have anxiety, to people who are considering self-harm. It's a huge gamut. These are individuals, when I'm talking about Letitia Stout, that commit murder of children, beat him to death in the most brutal and violent way, stuffed him in a suitcase, and they threw him out like trash. So there is no consideration to people who act like that. Mental health is completely put aside because from a legal standard, you just need to prove that they knew right from wrong. And she obviously knew right from wrong. So let's take a look at this case. It bothers me in a lot of ways, everything we have heard about the mental situation involving Ashley Buzzard, Melody's mom. From the accounts we have, and again, Ashley's mom, so Melody's grandma, Ashley's own mother, when she was interviewed, said she hadn't seen her for about 2 years. She couldn't even remember when, actually, in the interview. And she said something like, oh, I bought this for, you know, a birthday present for Melody. Oh, I brought this as a Christmas present, so when I get to see them. You know, these kids, that horrible things happen. And no matter what, this is a horrible situation. No matter how you slice it, no matter what happens, you know, whether Melody's found dead or alive, it's horrible, likely, what this girl has gone through. It just is, because being raised by somebody with the types of issues that her mother was describing is horrible. You're suffering from neglect. You're suffering from potential abandonment, from emotional and all sorts of abuse like this. So it's just terrible. Again, CPS, we know, if we're to believe the mother of Ashley, was out there and in fact called her. So we know this little girl, Melody, was on the CPS radar. It always bothers me, and I know it bothers you all, that things have to get to this point. You know, we don't have any pictures of this little girl past, you know, for the past 2 years. And there's a reason for that. And the reason typically would be a mother, if we believe what's to be described, that did not want anyone in her business. Wasn't going to put out there pictures of her at the house. She wasn't going to put anything like that out there. So again, I want to reiterate, these pictures that are in the media, like this one, this is the last known picture of her other than the surveillance picture. She would have only been about seven. And this to me looks like, you know, six or seven. I could see that. This is who they believe, which they believe she looks like. And this is at nine. Now, I want to take note of a couple other things that really stand out to me. Notice in this picture, full cheeks, her neck is full. She just looks so well nourished and happy 2 years ago. Look at this picture. All I can tell you is I see, it's hard to tell because she's so covered up. I give you that. But when I look at the hands, when I look at the shirt, when I look at the gauntness of the face that we can kind of see here, it just seems like she may not be near as well nourished as she was in this photo. So I think that's very important in speaking to what could have been happening to her. Also, it's very important to note that in her home, there was no food there. It was all rotting. It was disgusting. I think she said there were like eggs that were, I mean, cracked eggs apparently sitting out on the counter, that it was squalor. It was disgusting. For those of you who haven't been in homes like this, homes where children are abused, it's horrible. They typically reek. As you can imagine, when you have stale food and food sitting around, you're going to have roaches, you're going to have flies, you're going to have maggots, you're going to have all sorts of animal life, rats and everything. And that's what these kids are living in. So, you know, that's the situation. Again, for those of you just coming in, these photos specifically are taken from the rental car facility on August 7th. And this is who law enforcement says she's like right now. And that makes sense to me because they know that the mother would have been there to rent the car. So they're able to see that on camera, her with the mom. And that's why we know that that's her. Okay. All right. I want to talk about the Kansas connection. Why in the world did they go through Kansas? This is one of those things that just makes the hair go up on my back, because I'm wondering, I guess if I had hair on my back, however you want to call it, it makes me wonder why divert like that? And I'm terrified for this little girl. I'm terrified that nobody has seen her. But I do want to say this, and I think this is very, very important. So many people in true crime and so many people like us that are what I call newsies, you know, we're glued to the news. We watch the news where it's a big part of what we do on a daily basis is get caught up in the news. And for this reason, we can't believe when people don't know people are missing. I'll give you a perfect example in the Sebastian Rogers case. People think everybody knows Sebastian is missing, even in that neighborhood and that area. It's just so untrue. People in Tennessee don't know Sebastian Rogers is missing. If you take the Idaho case, you think, oh, you have to be under a rock not to know about Idaho. I guarantee you, go on a plane and just randomly ask somebody that sits next to you, have you ever heard of the Idaho 4 case? Chances are they're going to not have heard about it. They may, if anything, they might say something like, oh, I did hear about some kids being killed a while back. Or Gabby Petito, forget about it. No one, very few people even know who Gabby Petito is. They might say, oh, did she go missing? They're not going to know the details. My point is on this, that somebody could have this little girl and not know she's quote unquote missing. The grandmother and paternal grandparents were even confused about that she was missing. Because you know what? They're disengaged and, you know, they're disengaged from the family, sadly. They're disengaged from Melody, which is a huge, huge disservice to us. A huge disservice to Melody. Because nobody is there to really protect her from a mom who is struggling in a mental health crisis, apparently. It's very difficult, though. It's difficult in this country to get anybody committed. You have to prove that they're a danger to somebody else or to themselves. There's a lot to go through. And quite frankly, it doesn't seem, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to place blame. But I tell you, if this little girl Melody turns up dead, I will be placing a lot of blame on the extended family that seemed to just check out of this little girl's relationship. As far as one of the trails that law enforcement always follows, obviously, is, was she on welfare? Was Melody on welfare? What's happening with all of that? They're going to be following that and taking a look at that. Look, we don't even know if she was on subsistence. We don't know. She might have been. She might not have been. I don't know where she got the money to rent that car. But this is very important. We learned that her mother, Ashley, literally last week tried to rent another car. Not only one, but two. Now, you know what that tells me? She didn't end up renting one. But you know what that tells me? It tells me that she wanted to go back where she believed Melody was. Some people say, no, Jen, she wanted to take off to Mexico, or she wanted to take off and leave, and that's why she rented. I'm just telling you my belief based on cases like this, missing person cases that I've worked throughout the years, and a situation like this, I think she was going back to either, if she's with somebody that's not aware she's missing, or if tragically she has Melody someplace that only she knows. Unfortunately, I think she might have been renting that car to go back to Melody, or fortunately, if she's alive. Now, I want to point out this Kansas thing, because this is very critical. That rental car company and that particular car was a Malibu. There's going to be information, possibly, if not probably, on this late model Malibu as to where it went, GPS tracking information. And I believe that law enforcement has tracked her a lot. Yes, this is our timeline. This is our only timeline. But I believe they know so much more. And I'll tell you why, because they mentioned Kansas. Again, her trip was from 10-7 through 10-10. She comes home, Ashley, 10-10, with no Melody. So Melody is somewhere between Kansas, or I should say between Nebraska, and between California, her home, via Kansas. And let me tell you what the FBI is doing. And this is what we all do on these cases. What happens is the headquarters of this case is going to be an RA that services Santa Barbara. That is going to be the case agent. What that case agent is going to do is they're going to write an EC, as I discussed earlier, and they're going to put AO leads out to all the offices in and around the likely driving route that she would have taken. And those leads are going to request that gas stations, food places are contacted, shown a picture. Yeah, it's a lot of work. And you know what? That's why the FBI is big and the FBI can handle this. And they're going to go and they're going to track. And there's different what we call resident agencies along all these paths and in all these states. And they're going to do what they can to track possible places they could have gotten gasoline and they could have eaten. Now, they have help with all of that, of course, because they're going to serve subpoenas and or search warrants for information pertaining to her credit card or her debit card. So unless Ashley is just running around with thousands of dollars in cash, which could be, she likely used a credit card and a debit card. There's no way to rent a car other than with a credit card. So you can bet she has a credit card, and there's going to be credit card receipts, and there's going to be bank information that is pointing law enforcement in a direction of the exact route she took. And that's how they know she was in Kansas. That's how they know. They know this is her. This is not for us out in social media land to go, oh, it doesn't look like her. No, it doesn't look like her. It's 2 years later and she's disguised. She's in this dark or in this gray hoodie with all of this darkness in the background. But believe me, they're not sending us on a wild goose chase. Law enforcement wants our help. They want somebody who says, oh, I remember this young girl. She had a purse. She was little and she had these crazy leggings on. They are praying for such breaks. So they're working this from the standpoint of fiscally, bank information, that vehicle tracking information, gas station information. They are plastering this all up and down the route that she most likely would have taken. And they now know she diverted to Kansas. So they're going to be flooding that northwest part of Kansas with this type of information, which, by the way, remember the two missing moms? This is kind of that same Kansas area. So anyway, my point is, please help dispel rumors that aren't from law enforcement. This is who we're looking for. This is who you need to have on your platforms. They know this because this was from the rental car company and she was with mama. This is the timeline. This isn't a fake timeline. This was specifically put out by law enforcement so we could understand what's happened. Did they find anything at her house? I would believe no. Nothing that would show enough probable cause to have her arrested at this point. A lot of people are asking, why can't they make her talk? Why can't they make her talk? I'm going to bring you back to Gabby Petito again. It's a case many of us know. Brian Laundrie's parents, even though Gabby Petito's, not Brian Laundrie's, Gabby Petito's white van with her missing was sitting in their driveway. When law enforcement went to talk to them, they handed them a card of their attorney. They completely lawyered up. They never have talked to law enforcement. I mean, the most we know about that case now from their vantage and how much they knew and that they knew she was dead and everything else, we know because of civil suit depositions. That's why we know what we know about that case. So there is no way, unless they find a way to charge her with something, with like child endangerment, child neglect, reporting to, I need to check California, but some states do have failure to report, you know, a missing child. And if they didn't, she obviously didn't report her. That is a possibility, but not that many states have that. I don't think California has that. That happened in the Madeline case. That was able to be used. But again, what did that mother do? That mother clammed up. She served her short sentence, and then she went back to the country of origin. Now, we don't have that here, and I'm hopeful that as the FBI is, I guarantee you right now today, dozens of agents are working on this. They're doing these AO leads that I talked about, trying to track her, trying to see her on film at either a gas station, at a restaurant. They're trying to track where this vehicle went. They're tracking through credit cards. And hopefully something breaks. Anyway, I want to make this clear. This is 2+ years later. There is such a huge time. I could show you a picture of my child at 7 and 9, and they look so different, except my older son, who looked the same since he was 6 months old. But my other kids, oh my gosh, they have so much change. They grow up. And this is her. Please don't let rumors fly that this isn't her. Law enforcement has said it is. I want to make sure I didn't miss anything. Let me just check my notes to see if I missed anything at all. Let's see. Oh, the father's name, I just wanted to mention that, was Rubio Mesa. And again, he was tragically killed in a motorcycle accident husband when she was about 6 months old. His parents, family, so on and so forth, has not been involved in this case, or involved in her life, I should say. They've come out, they held a candlelight vigil. Listen, I have no doubt they feel terrible that she's missing, and they understand that this is, you know, their granddaughter, their niece, their nephew, their cousin. But no one was in this little girl's life. That is what is really becoming apparent. I saw a very interesting interview, though, of an older stepsister, purportedly, who was, I thought, around 30, that said that they had tried to get custody of the little girl, particularly in light of the CPS, the CPS information, you know, that in other words, she was in this horrible home life, but was unsuccessful. That was very interesting. I want to make sure I don't miss anything else. I think that's it. The biggest thing I hope everybody does is just continue to talk about Melody, to continue to show this picture of Melody. Again, law enforcement is telling us likely with a wig. They don't think this is her real hair. Nevertheless, she's so bundled up. That's just a red flag to me that the mother is unfortunately, you know, has maybe done something to this little girl. I think it'll be a miracle if she's brought home safe and sound, but we shouldn't give up hope, because it's possible that she somehow has left her with somebody and that somebody is caring for her. But when I think about other cases that are similar, I certainly don't like how this is ferreting out. Let's stay in prayer for her, for our little girl who we all think of as looking like this. And I appreciate y'all being here kind of last minute at 5 to come on with me in the middle of all my work issues. Thank you so much for being here, everybody. I hope that you guys have a great rest of the evening. And until next time, may Melody be found and may justice be served.
Want to break the case with Jennifer Coffendaffer even more? Then press subscribe right now and join Jen on YouTube. Just search Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer now.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For a limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.